Okay. This is Sunday morning, July the 12th, 2020. We're going to go with a teaching first this morning called Great Grace Was Upon Them All. We just sang a song, Only by Grace Can We Enter, Only by Grace Can We Stand, Not by Our Human Endeavors, But by the Blood of the Lamb. I want to turn to Acts chapter 4. This was shortly after the day of Pentecost. verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, this was Peter and John, they were arrested for healing the blind man at the gate, chapter 3. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000, got saved. 5,000 from that man's healing. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. That it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Rather it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, that's what the Lord was saying to us prior to this. This is the day of boldness. It's no longer arguing with people about what's right or wrong or what they think. It's about the sureness of the gospel, and it is to be spoken boldly, and it's to be left in their laps to make a decision on, not for us to argue. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine great things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, a note here, the Holy Spirit just quickened me. This was the ushering in of the church age. This right here. This is what happened. And God's saying to us, the next phase is coming. We're ushering in the kingdom of God age. And with great boldness. See, it came in with great boldness. Peter, that denied the Lord three times, stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches, and 3,000 get saved. Peter and John heal the blind man at the gate. 5,000 people get saved. Great grace. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. See, God's going to raise us up with Holy Ghost boldness to speak the word of God in power. It's not about arguing anymore. You can think whatever you want. You'll either come on board or you won't. But you can't say you hadn't been told. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. I'm telling you, great grace is upon us to be bold and to usher in this kingdom. It wasn't just for them. Neither was there any of them that lacked. Woo, like that. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Isn't that what Nasara is going to be? Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So just like great grace was there to usher in the church age, great grace is upon us to usher in the kingdom age. Right, verse 33. And with great, this is amplified version. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. When you get in this mode, it's just going to be like duck in water. It's the way it's going to be. We'll just flow. It'll just come so natural. No longer this intimidation. No longer this pushback. No longer feeling afraid. No longer being ashamed. No longer hiding our lamp under a bushel. Isn't that what Q's admonishing right now? That's why I've had everybody take the oath as soldiers of the Lord. We are coming out in full force and we're not backing down. People are being called on the carpet. There was a couple that had Antifa. They lived in a very ritzy neighborhood, lived in a mansion. And Antifa comes barreling down the street. And here he's got an AK, was it AK whatever? And she's got a handgun. Well, they come. Police come to his house. They show a picture later. They didn't show the Antifa thug with an AK-15 or whatever it was in his hands pointed at them. They didn't show that. But they came and confiscated his gun. Took it away from him on his own property, his own constitutional right, the right to bear arms. See, they had the leaders of their day coming against them for the goodness of God and what they were doing, but they didn't back down. We're in that day and hour. And God will lead us. God will lead us and show us what to do, who to speak to. There's some, I wouldn't waste my breath, but there's others that are hungry and they've gotten a little light. They just need a little help. And I'm just going to be honest with them. Listen, this is what the Lord said to me. Believe it or not, makes no difference to me. But this is the word of the Lord. Receive it or not receive it. Believe in your rapture and whatever you want to do, but it ain't coming. It's time to quit listening to fairy tales and look at the Word of God and see what it really says. It's as plain on nose as a nose on your face. All right, 1 Peter 1, 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, know now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is where I just come through. Been in a dark place for a long time. And a few days ago, it's like I come out of it. Vines here, the word cherish, which is grace. It's the power and equipment for ministry. I mean, there's a grace for a lot of things, but basically it is the power and equipment for ministry. All right, 12, Romans 12. We're going to see this bears this out. It's for every person that will obey the Lord and do this. A lot of people go to seminaries and do all kinds of things to try to get trained to do the work of the Lord, but I'm telling you, this is not. Now, if God tells you to go to a seminary, you go to a seminary, but what I'm saying to you is this: God has His own way of training His people. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That means don't go to the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that means you go to the Word, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you're trained under the glory of men and their institutions, you're already off on the wrong foot. That we're not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then he goes on to talk about there's many members of the body and their different gifts of ministry that's imparted. You get grace for whatever God's called you to do for this time and this hour. It's not by human endeavors. It's by grace. Paul said, this is Ephesians 3:7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Grace is it. This is the Carnal Love version. Grace is empowerment from above to walk through. The general consensus for most today is I spend most of my time trying to get this stuff off of me. Whatever manifold temptation that you're experiencing, they focus on the temptation. How am I going to get rid of this thing? Am I true about this? This is where the whole world sits, most of the church. Grace went into the fiery furnace. Grace went into the lion's den. Grace parted the Red Sea and walked on dry ground. Grace is all is well when it is evident that it isn't. David said this, through you I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. All the mighty men were just as was not, the mighty men were not just in themselves, they were empowered by grace. David took down the giant by grace. How many of you know that somebody slinging a rock with a sling probably is not going to kill anything? But when you got angel power behind it, it broke the skull of Goliath. The mighty in God's word were those that did not run, but they walked through the circumstances. David the giant killer is a prime example of that. Everyone else ran for the foxhole, but not David. He confronted the giant head on. God's grace caused the giant to fall. As David exercised his faith, grace saw it through. Oh, Lord, how am I going to do that? My grace will see you through. Getting an understanding of this is what will bring the real victory in our lives. It is not by our own efforts, but by His Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that lives in you. It's not by your efforts. Never has been. He's never expected it to be. People think, Lord, I can't do that. I can't go to Africa. I can't do that. And they go their whole life feeling guilty and beat up because they've missed God and they haven't done what God asked them to do. But they never took time to find out first, renew their mind by renewing their mind, and then God imparting grace when they found out God's will for them, God giving them the grace to carry it out. He's not asking you to do it of your own power. He's not asking you to tell people that He's coming. His kingdom's coming. The kingdom age is coming. He's not asking you to do it in your flesh. He's asking you to be led by the Spirit, and when that time comes, grace kicks in. All right. Quicken there means to revitalize or make alive. How valuable is this? It makes the child of God invincible. It makes like David's mighty men that did these feats that no one humanly possible could possibly do. No matter how long, you know, the duration or whatever, God's grace will see us through. I stand here as proof of that. There were times I said, Lord, I'm going down. But then He'd say, no, my grace will see you through. And it did. Ephesians 6, 10. This is the armor, I believe. I believe that we have to put on grace. We have to. We have to decide to. If grace is His power and equipment to do ministry, then it's also His armor to do warfare. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is something we decide to put on. Not your might, not your armor, God's might and His armor. Stop wearing yourself out trying to be strong. Get some help. Grace is your help. God has already won, and we are in it to win it. We must win by doing it God's way, not our way. We cannot win without Him. We revel in His victory. The grace is the victory that He has already won and given unto us. Okay, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How will you know if you're never challenged? How will you know that the grace is sufficient if you're never challenged? Such a disservice to the people of God to think that they should never have to go through anything. And if something comes against them, they run to someone to get help and get it fixed. That's what I've experienced. People pull at ministers like a litter of puppies. Now, I can see that with babies. But if you're Holy Ghost taught, Holy Ghost trained, there's no excuse for that. Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. Paul's vision of paradise here. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. He that was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Get this thing off of me! Stand in every prayer line across the country. Go to every seminar of every faith teacher there is on earth. Get this off of me! For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he became strong in the Lord. He wasn't relying on somebody praying it off of him or whatever means he had to make. He drew upon the grace of God. Okay. Anyone that has ever done anything for God has had to stand in this place. By it happening because of God's grace, this assures that the person knows it's of God and not of them. And therefore, God gets the glory for it. See, he had all these advanced revelations so that he would not take that upon himself and glorify himself. Look what God has shown me. The messenger of Satan kept him humble where he realized it's only by the grace of God I am what I am and I do what I do. Okay. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be strong in the Lord. Grace. Jesus is grace. Grace has a name. Jesus. God is not asking you to live your life, face your trials, do your ministry without his grace. He is the empowerment and equipper of your life against your trials and for your ministry. 1 Peter 4:10, manifold temptations. Let me read that again. I read that earlier. Manifold means various. 4:10. Well, that's not the scripture. What is that scripture? 1:6. Okay, let me read that again. Then I want to go to the other one. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord's told us, been telling us since 1999, you're going to be so glad that you allowed me to work in your life and allowed you to go through these things. You're going to be so glad that you're not glad now, but you're going to be glad. Listen, if we want to be like Paul and we want to see the glory of God manifested in our life, we want to meet the full potential of God in us, then this process has to be. It has to be. Okay, now, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's not about, we want people to say, God is in you of a truth. We don't want people to say, well, they're a great preacher and they're a great this and that. No. When we look at you, we see Jesus. That's how they recognize the apostles. We perceive that they've been with Jesus when the man got healed at the gate. All right, manifold there means various. God supplies manifold grace for manifold temptations. Okay, now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Never leave home without it. Never wake up without it. Never go to sleep without it. Okay, Acts 17. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures on grace, lots and lots and lots. I just picked out a few. Enough to you for you to get the message today. The Holy Spirit wants conveyed to you. He wants you to take heart. Quit struggling so. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Whatever God is, whatever God is in, he graces. He does not grace your works. I'm not going to do it. Not your works. That's why I was talking about going to seminary places like that. A lot of people, they believe they're called by God, so they just, instead of getting before the one who called them, they start trying to find places that have, you know, people that have credentials, and they go to these seminaries and stuff like that, and then they get in ministry, and then they shipwreck, and things are just not the way they should be. It's because they're not